For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It's June 18th, and we're continuing in Derech Hashem. We're in Perek, we're in Chelek Dalet Perek Shish, we're in the middle of the Perek, and we're discussing Tefillah, and we're now going to talk about the specifics of Tefillah. He talked already about Shema and about Shema Esrei, but now we'll talk more details of Tefillah. Now, the Ramchal writes that there's four parts to Tefillah. Now, the level of detail he gets into is so detailed that, first of all, could be not everybody says everything every day that he talks about, but then there are things he talks about that Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't even say. So we'll touch on it anyway, just because he's trying to paint a picture of what happens in davening. But the four parts that he talks about are Karbonos is one, Pesukei Dezimra is two, Kriyat Shema and its Brachos are three, and Shemona Esrei and what comes afterwards are four. Those are the four parts of the tefillah. Then he breaks it down, what each part is doing. It's pretty self-explanatory for the beginning. Karbonos, we know that when we say the karbonos, it's like we're bringing the karbonos. If we concentrate on the words, it's like we're bringing them. I think the vast majority of people don't actually say karbonos, but there is the inyan to say them if a person has time. Pesukei Dezimra, of course, is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Kriyat Shema and its Brachos and Shemona Esrei he talked about, but here in a little bit more detail, he just mentions that, as we learned before in Derech Hashem, the way that Hashem set up the world, even though he didn't have to do it this way, if he did it this way, it means it's the best way to do it, right? What I mean to say is, we could have thought of other ways to do it, but the way he set it up, that the world is connected to him, is that there are madrigos upon madrigos upon madrigos, that when we do something, it affects the level right above us, which affects the level right above that, and right above that, until as you move up the levels in Ruchnius, all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, that creates a certain Hashpa, which then filters its way down also through all the madrigos. Once before, we spoke about the difference between something happening directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and something happening through Malachim, which the Torah itself talks about in several places, the difference, the advantage of having something directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we've mentioned before, like Makas Bechoros, Ani V'loi Malach, Ani V'loi Saraf, Ani Hu V'lo Ashliach. So there's a mailon of being from HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight and not through Malachim. We also know that in Kisis, after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'shalachti lefanach ha-malach, and Klal Yisrael goes into Avelus because of that. There's going to be a Malach instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the general way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is through Malachim, whatever that means, and it's Madrega after Madrega till HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then back down the other way. So he writes that in the Birchas Krishma, that's the way it's set up. The Birchas Krishma, if you look in the first bracha of Yotzer, so it talks about first the heavenly bodies, talks about the sun and the moon and the stars, the various spheres that are above us, and then it segues from there to the Malachim. That's how the bracha works. So that we begin praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Ma'oros. The Ma'oros are the sun, the moon, the stars, planets. And then we segue from there into the Malachim because we're going level after level, starting with the Olam of the Mazalos, which have a Kayach of some sort, not an independent Kayach, of course, but they have a Kayach of some sort. And from there you go to the Malachim. In Avarabba, in the second bracha, that's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. His love for us and our davening to him, that we should be close to him and he should be mashpi on us. So the brachas of Kriyat Shema allude to this madrega after madrega up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Shemona Esrei itself, So of course, that is the main part of tefillah, and it's the Amidah of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Now, he moves into a very cryptic paragraph, which is clearly based in Kabbalah. I do want to mention a part of it, and actually I want to expand upon it perhaps later on, not what he talks about here, but I want to expand what he says. But he says that you should know that the hashpos that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu are three types, and they are alluded to in the first three letters of the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the final hey of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is then the kol of the first three. And this idea of having three parts and then a fourth, which kind of brings the three together, is the remez for that is Hagadol Hagibor Vahanora, Hagadol Hagibor Vahanora 3, which alludes to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which are the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, the following. And the thing that brings it all together is David HaMelech. Got that? Okay. And, right. So he mentions this almost like as if it's, you know, obvious as he goes through it. So I do want to come back to this, because I think that here there's something very practical that we can deal with, even though the sod and the remez is a little beyond us, or maybe a lot beyond us, but I think there's some very practical parts to understanding Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, David HaMelech, within the context of Shemona Esrei, the first three brachos, the first bracha itself, etc. So I want to come back to that. He mentions the differences between Shemona Esrei during the week and Shemona Esrei on Shabbos. As we know, that during the week we have besides the first three brachas, the last three brachas, we have the middle 12 and now 13 brachas, and those are all of the specific cases, the specific ways that we ask Hashem for things. And then on Shabbos, that is all condensed into one. And the Gemara itself says that really we could daven Shemona Esrei on Shabbos, meaning a full Shemona Esrei like we do during the week, but the Chazal were not matriachas, they didn't trouble us. It's not necessary, because Shabbos doesn't need to have that level of detail. As long as we're mispell about Shabbos, that encompasses everything else. There's no need for anything else. But that's why, he doesn't mention this, but that's why if you make a mistake on Shabbos and you accidentally start the bracha of Atah Chonein, so if you just say the word Atah, so if it's in the bracha of, let's say, Ma'ariv, so Ma'ariv anyway starts off Atah, right? No, how does it start? Can't remember offhand. No, for the first the bracha of the middle bracha of Shemona Esrei on Shabbos, Friday night. Should I be embarrassed? It's been 5 days. Sorry, if it was Sunday, and maybe I'll remember it. But Atah Gidashta, right. So since it starts off Atah anyway, so if you say Atah for Atah Chonein, but you stop yourself before you get to the word Chonein, then you can just say Atah Gidashta. But once you say the word Chonein, then you finish the bracha of Atah Chonein. It's not a bracha of Atala, because really, you could daven a regular Shemona Esrei on Shabbos. But Chazal weren't matriachas. So if whatever bracha you started, if you already said words that are not included in this Shemona Esrei of Shabbos, you finish the bracha. If you started Hashiveinu, then you say Hashiveinu. If you started Slach Lanu, that's usually where you wake up. Because, right? So then it's Shabbos. So then you realize it's the wrong bracha. But you finish the bracha that you're in, because it's not a bracha levatali. You finish the bracha, then you start with the Shabbos bracha. Because it's not the pshat that it's not the pshat that the weekday Shemona Esrei is somehow wrong or deficient, it's not necessary. The exception is Musaf. Because Musaf, there is no Musaf during the week. There's no such thing as saying Atah Chonein during Musaf. Ma'ariv Shacharis and Mincha, Atachonein is the normal thing to say. But there's no Atachonein in Musaf. So where, if you start saying the regular Shema Esrei and it's Musaf, wherever you remember, you stop. Even in the middle of Bracha, you stop where you are and start with the middle Bracha from Musaf. Okay. So, Tikkanta Shabbos. So, that I remember. So, that's easy, right? Tikkanta Shabbos, because it's the Aleph Beis backwards. Tough. Shin, right? It worked. Ratzitza Karbonasa, Tough. Shin, Resh, Kuf. So, now, that's Shabbos. And Yom Tov, of course, is the same thing. You only need one bracha in the middle. He also moves into a general observation about the Olamos. He writes that there are four Olamos. We're familiar with two of them. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. But he's not talking about Olam Haba, because Olam Haba hasn't happened yet. He's talking about Olam Hazeh, meaning our world, which includes the physical world and also the heavens, meaning the physical heavens, the sky, and the outer space. That's one Olam. Then you have the Olam HaMalachim. And then you have what he calls the Olam HaKiseh, which is higher than the Malachim. And those are three worlds. And then on top of that, you have another world, which is where the Hashpos come from, whatever that means. Now, he defines the word Olam, which is good to know anyway. He says, let me read it to you. He says, what is an Olam? Ki Olam yikare kibbutz atzamim rabim v'nimtzayim shonim b'makom. The word Olam means a gathering of many different things and many different existences, nimtzayim, in one place. That's what an Olam is. And those different creatures or things interact with each other in a specific way in that Olam. That's what an Olam is. So our Olam, all of the physical world, all the physical universe, interacts with each other in a certain way, even though there are many different things within the physical universe, but we interact with each other. And that's why it's called an Olam. Then you have the Olam HaMalachim. They interact with each other. The Olam HaKiseh, whatever that is. The Olam of Hashpa, which is the highest Olam, he says that's a borrowed term, because Hashpa is not a creature. Hashpa means to influence, to give over. So that's not, those aren't creatures. So he says a borrowed term to call it an Olam. But he writes that the parts of davening are connected, these four olamas. That karbonis is olam hazeh, psuki de zimra is olam hamalachim, shma and its brachos is olam hakisei, whatever that is, and then shma nesu is olam hashba. Now, we're not going to understand too much about olam hakisei, olam hashba. I mean, these are the things that are beyond us, but it is important to note that the karbonis is olam hazeh. That's very significant, that the main purpose of being in this world is reflected through karbonos. And the whole concept of, we talked about this before, of kaihanim oichlim ubailim miskaprim, then when the kohanim eat from the karbon, it gives us kapara. They eat from the karbon chatas, and we get kapara for their eating. The very fact that eating, which is a physical act, can bring kapara for an Avera, which is Ruchnius, that in and of itself brings out the Harkava, brings out the fact that this world is a fusion of Gashmi and Ruchni. We ourselves are a fusion of Gashmi and Ruchni, internally, with our Neshama. In the Seder, on Pesach night, when we say Dayenu, I think I mentioned this to you as well. When we say Dayenu, so we mention 15 things that we say, Ilu Hotzionu Mitzrayim, V'layasa V'hem Shvatim Dayenu. It just took us out, he didn't make the makas, that would be enough. And we say, there are 15 things, 15 steps. After we say Dayenu, we say, Alachas Kama Kama, Right? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the more so because he did all of these things. So then we list the 15. We say Hotzionu Mitzrayim, Vasalam Shvatim, Vasalam Mamonam, Karlanos Hayam. We go through each of the 15 steps all the way through. But when we finish the whole thing, the last one is that he built us the Beis HaBechira. He built the Beis HaMikdash. That's the last Dayenu. And therefore, when we go through the 15 things and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single one of them, we go all the way to the Beis HaBechira, that he built us the Beis HaMikdash. But then we end with an extra line. There's one extra line at the end of that paragraph that is not in the Dayenu. Because we end off the whole thing by saying, and he built us the Beis HaBechira. Who knows what the last line is? No. L'chaper al kol avonoseinu. To atone for all our errors. That's really the final thing. It's really what we're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for is that he gave us a way to get kapara for our errors, which is the karbanos. And that's what we lack without having a Beis HaMikdash, is we don't have a way of going to be mechaper. That's the ikar. The idea of having a method, a means to kapara at our fingertips, so to speak, is the most powerful matana Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Today we don't have it. But that is really what Olam Hazeh is all about. When Adam is created, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Afa min ha'adama. He took Afa from the Adama. So Chazal want to know, what's ha'adama? What do you mean? It's just say Afar. Afar Adama. What do you mean? Afar min ha'adama. From the Adama. So Rashi of there brings two pshatim in what it means, min ha'adama. Anybody know what he says?
It's from the Mizbeach.
Okay. From the place where it says, Mizbeach Adama Taseli. He took from that Adama. In order that he should have a kapara. That Adam should be, the very fabric of Adam is from ingredients that come from the makom of kapara. That's what we are actually created from. And that's really the essence of Olam Hazeh, is a world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a struggle for us, and we do struggle. But inherent in that struggle is, unfortunately, Ein Sadik Ba'aretz Hashayasa Tov Lo Yecheta. There's always going to be Avera of some sort. And therefore, because there is Avera, there has to be a means for Kapara. And Olam Hazeh is a world that Malachim didn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world. He asked the Malachim, should I create them? And they said, no. And he destroyed the Malachim for that. And he created another Kat. And again they said no, and he destroyed them. And then finally, the third Kat said, they agreed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should create the world, should create man. The chisaron in creating the world is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a place where people could reject him. Until there was man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't be rejected. It wasn't shayach. We were given bechira, which means we could reject him. And therefore, although it is the ratzon Hashem that there be an olam, there's also something deficient about the fact that there is an olam. And that deficiency is offset by kapara. And the very creation of Adam includes that. And what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for most of all in Dayenu is L'chaper al kol avonoseinu. So karbanos in the morning, even though, admittedly, I don't say them, and most people don't say them, but it reflects Olam Hazeh because it really is the essence of what Olam Hazeh is. It's a place that needs kapara. But it's still the Ratzon Hashem that there be a place like this. Because it is also the place in which there can be a human being that can be Baicher B'Toiv and reach Shlemus, which is even greater than the Malachim themselves. Pesukei Dezemra also reflecting the Olam HaMalachim is informative, because what do Malachim do all day? They say Shira. That's what Malachim do. That is the function of Malachim, is to say Shira. Because Shira is the opposite, is the antithesis of a world that needs Kapara. Because Shira is what is done when a being is only serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. when it says Shemesh Begivon Doim, so Yehoshua said Ashira when he stopped the sun and the moon. Why did he say Ashira? Say Chazal? Because, go ahead. You're not.
The sun couldn't sing Shira.
Because the sun wasn't saying Shira. What do you mean the sun wasn't saying Shira? Because it wasn't doing the Ratzon Hashem. It was stopped. The function of the sun is to move. That's what it does from the moment it was created until today. So when it stopped, it's not saying Shira. Yehoshua had to make up for that Shira. Shira is pure service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pure. No alterations, no adulterations, just serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight. And Malachim, who don't do anything wrong, because they don't have a Yetzirah, therefore, and they don't have Bechira. So it's all Shira. So Psuki de Zimra is reflective of the Olam HaMalachim. So this is a very interesting dichotomy. You have our Olam reflected in Karbanos, and you have the Olam of the Malachim reflected in Psuki de Zimra. Those two parts of davening. So whatever parts we end up saying, just to know what we're doing, when we're saying Psuki de Zimra, we are tapping into the Olam HaMalachim. So think about it. A person who's saying Psuki de Zimra and is, while they're saying Psuki de Zimra, doing something wrong, it's a stira, right? It's a contradiction. The whole point of Shira is it's pure service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly spacing out and all that. And it's meant to be something which one is focused solely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'fnei HaMelech. It's not like Shemona Esrei, but it is the Shiras of the. It's the Shiras of David HaMelech, and David HaMelech and his Shiras was where the Malachim are in their Olam, perhaps even greater.
Is that what you're saying? You're saying straight. Is that the Shorash of Yashar? Or Shira?
No, it's interesting. Interesting. I didn't think of that. Very interesting. You're switching around the Yod and the Shin. Very interesting. Could be. He gets into a little bit of what Tachnon is and Ein Kelokeinu, which most people don't say the rest of the week except on Shabbos. So he discusses those things a little bit. And he mentions as well that the day itself, we know, is broken up into two parts. And this is going to segue back into the idea of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and David HaMelech. The day itself is broken up into two parts. You have the morning and the afternoon. Now in the morning is when you have the longest davening, with the most detail. And that's because, we mentioned this last week, we talked about it was 2 weeks ago. We talked about Negel Vasser, how it's Mitar the whole world last time. But Mitar the whole world with the Negel Vasser. It's interesting. We learned it last time. I was in Eretz Yisrael this week for a Siyum that the Bachar made, and they brought in Avram Shur to speak. So Gedalia Shur's son. And he spoke and he gave a shmuz. And in his talk, he mentioned this from Chal, we talked about last time, about how when you do Negel Vasser in the morning, you're not just being tired yourself, you're being tired the entire world. He said that he heard from an Adam Gadol that when he learned that Ramchal, it affected his Negel Vasser for a whole year. His Negel Vasser was a different thing because of this Ramchal. It's very interesting. But anyway, so in the morning you have the most davening with the most detail because the whole world has been shorui in Laila, which is the time of Tumah, and in order to pull out of that you need the most amount of davening. When you get to the afternoon you have the shortest davening because there, it's not much of a change. It's true that the afternoon is different than the morning, but the fact is that it's still the same day. It's not much of a change. So you don't need that much. So everything is condensed. You don't need all of Psukah de Zimra. Ashrei is enough. Shemona Esrei is the same. You don't need everything after Shemona Esrei, just Aleinu. That's it. You don't need all the different details that you have in the morning. And then he writes, Ma'ariv, on the one hand, it's still part of the same day because you haven't gone to sleep yet, and therefore it can be shorter than Shacharis, but because the contrast between night and day is a greater contrast than the afternoon to the morning, therefore there is a need for more hischadshus, and that's why Meyer is a little bit longer. So there are brachos of Kriya Shema and Shema itself. There's more to Ma'ariv. And he says that we know from the Gemara brachos that the three davenings were set up by whom? Who coined each of the davenings? The Avos, right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Avram set up Shachris, he was Misakin Shachris, Yitzchak was Misakin Mincha, and Yaakov was Misakin Ma'ariv. So he writes that just like during the day, you have the time in the morning and time in the afternoon, at night you also have the time before Chatzos and the time after Chatzos. So the time before Chatzos is the time for Ma'ariv. He says, after Chatzos, there's also a tefillah. But it was never set up that all of Klal Yisrael does it. It was just for Yechidim who do it. And that's what Tikkun Chatzos is. Tikkun Chatzos, there is something that some very great tzaddikim say. And that is Tikkun Chatzos. It's in the Siddur. I don't know if it's in this Siddur, actually. But it's in the Siddur. If you've never seen it, it's worthwhile looking at it. There's the tikkun of Leah and of Rachel. It's very interesting, the whole, what it is over there. It's not very long, but there's tikkun chatzos. So he writes that tikkun chatzos was established by David HaMelech. Because it says, chatzos laila akum mehodos lecha. It says in Tehillim. David says, I get up in the middle of the night. And the Gemara in Bracha says, David HaMelech would only sleep until chatzos laila. And then the ruach Sfinus, I think, would come and make his kinar play music. It would blow on the kinar and make it play music, and he would wake up, and then he would be Isaac in Shiras V'Sishbachos the rest of the night until morning. That's what he would do. So David HaMelech established the idea of Tikkun Chatzos. By the way, that's a raya. It's unclear what a kinar is. People like to say it's a harp. But it's unclear that's exactly what it is. If a wind is causing it to blow, to make noise, that sounds like it's a wind instrument, not a string instrument. The difference between a wind instrument and a string instrument is a wind instrument is activated through wind, through a breath. While a string instrument, you have to pluck something. You can't just blow in it. It's not going to make any noise. You have to hit it harder. You have to make the things vibrate. So now, in theory, wind could make a string instrument make noise also. If like it's a sudden gust of wind and a sudden stop, so it causes like as if it was the string was plucked. But it's difficult. So it's not exactly clear what a kinar is as much as everybody thinks it's a harp. At any rate, there's other rayas though that it had strings. There are other rayas in Chazal that it had strings. So I don't know exactly what a kinar is. But at any rate, the David HaMelech would get up and he would say Shiras V'Sishbachos. And as you know, he is the one who established Tehillim. That's Naim Zmiros Yisrael is David HaMelech. So he writes that only the Yechidim get up to do Tikkun Chatzos, but Chazal didn't impose it on everybody in Klal Yisrael. That's what he writes. So a lot of this is, again, is over our heads. It's a general outline of the rest of davening. But I want to touch on this idea of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and David HaMelech. And the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei and Hagavah, Hagibor, Vahanora. I want to touch on that for a few minutes in the time that we have. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei has a lot of threes in it. You say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. Right? Then you have Gomel Chasadim Tovim. I'm sorry, not that. You have Melech, Ozer, Umoshia, Umagain. So each of those threes alludes to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, Rashi says in Chumash that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, he says Lech Lecha, and he says Ve'escha l'goy gadol Ve'avarechecha Ve'agad l'shemecha. So Rashi says, "Ve'eschol gadol zehu shomrim elokei Avraham, va'avarechecha zehu shomrim elokei Yitzchak, va'gadla shemecha zehu shomrim elokei Yaakov." Yachol, you might think that the end of the bracha should be with all three of them. So that's why it says, "Ve'heyei bracha." That the chasimas habracha is only for you, Magen Avraham, not Magen Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Hayei bracha, you're the bracha. Now, what does it mean? Why is ve'eschal gadol lokei Avraham, va'avarechecha lokei Yitzchak, and va'gadla shemecha lokei Yaakov? So, ve'eschal gadol means I'll make you into a great nation. Avraham Avinu, his whole nisayon was that he and Sarah didn't have children. You can't start Klal Yisrael without children. And the whole way that he had children was miraculous. He had to have an extra letter added to his name, so they had to have her name changed. He had to have the Bris Milah. It was a whole nes that Avraham Avinu was able to have children with Sarah. And that that having of children is what creates Klal Yisrael. That's why it's Ve'eschal gadol is Elokei Avraham. The bracha to have children is ironically from Avraham Avinu, who didn't have children, because he received the bracha to have children through an ace. And that's Ve'eschal gadol. Vavarechecha means wealth. Bracha means bracha savalam hazeh. Yitzchak was the Av with all the wealth. He's the one. They were all wealthy, but no one was as wealthy as Yitzchak. Yitzchak had, you know, where to the point where people were saying, Zevel Pradosav Shal Yitzchak. We'd rather have the fertilizer that's produced by the animals of Yitzchak more than Kaspo v'Zahavo Shavi Melech, more than all his gold and silver. Yitzchak was fabulously wealthy. And then finally, Vagadla Shemecha, which is fame, that's Yaakov Avinu, which Yaakov Avinu is the one who finally is, they were all famous, but Yaakov Avinu is the one because of the fact that he brings all the Shvatim into the world and he creates the real Maimir of Klal Yisrael, Shivim Nefesh, go down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu is recognized. Now, Kama Yemei Shnechayecha, Paro says, when Yaakov dies, then they take him up to the Maras HaMachpelah, and then you have all of the whole entourage of the Mitzrayim and the Kenayim, and everybody comes to Yaakov Avinu. He's the Vagad LaShemecha. Now, Avram's Mida is Chesed. Yitzchak is Gvura. And Yaakov is Torah or Emes, which is really the same thing. Now, which is the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. So, the Avram who is Chesed, so he is the Eschol Gai Gadol, which is Chesed, because raising children, bringing children into the world and raising them, that is all chesed. As you know, and this is the primary expression of chesed of Benos Yisrael, is that when the Benos Yisrael are raising children, that is the most selfless act that a person does. And the raising of the children is pure chesed. you've all heard this many times. I don't have to say more than this, but you understand that it's a mistake that people make, that they think chesed is only when you do it to people who are not in your family. But within one's own family, especially one's own children, is the greatest expression of chesed. That's the Eschol Gadol is Avraham Avinu. Va'avarechecha, which is wealth, which is Yitzchak, that's Gvura. Because Gvura is Ezehu Gibar HaKavish Es Yitzra. Right? It's no big deal to be Kavish your Yetzer if you have nothing to have a Yetzer Hara about. You have to have the means to do Averis and not do them in order to be a Gibar. Yitzchak has fabulous wealth, is able to do whatever he wants, and he is purely focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's an Oilo Tamima, he does not indulge in what he has. And then Yaakov Avinu, who is Torah, who is Emes, so fame only comes, the only real fame, what does it mean, V'agav l'shemecha, I'll give you fame. What's fame? Everybody knows about you. We don't believe in that. We believe that we don't believe in gaiva. Person should have anava. Person should be humble. But we do believe in giving kavod to Talmidei Chachamim. Why do we give kavod to Talmidei Chachamim? So you could say, well, we need to do that because it's good for us to recognize the importance of a Talmid Chacham. Fine. But what about the Talmid Chacham? It's not good for the Talmid Chacham to get kavod. It's not healthy for anybody to get kavod. But the pshat is because the kavod isn't for the Talmid Chacham. It's for the Torah that he represents. We're not giving kavod to the person, we're giving kavod to the Torah, which he now embodies. But it's the Torah that is the only thing that's getting the kavod. And a real Talmud Chacham, who's getting that kavod, will be able to separate those two things and recognize, it's not about me, it's about the Torah. It's not by accident that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Anav Mikol Adam. The greater Talmud Chacham a person is, it only means that he's a greater Anav. And that's why we're able to give kavod to Talmidei Chachamim. The Eschala Goy Gadol, I'll make you famous, is only appropriate for someone who is Torah, who is Emes, not Yaakov Avinu. Now, HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora, the Rashi in Parshas Vaeschana talks about it. What does HaGadol mean? And what does HaGibor mean? And what does HaNoira mean? So, HaGadol, Rashi says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kovesh, he's kovesh b'tuvay hagadol. Let's read the Russian. Parshas Vaeschana. Hashem Elokim atah chilois el haros zavdecha es gadlacha v'esyadcha chazaka. So Rashi says gadlacha. What is gadol? Zumidas tuvcha. This is the midah of toiv of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'cheinu oimer v'ata yigdal na koyach Hashem. It's the to be saleach klal Yisrael. The gadlus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when he's doing chesed to us. It's his toiv that he does for his brios. That is the gadlus. That's hagadol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hagadol. There's no greater gadol than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu embodies chesed in a human being, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hagadol. Hagibor, so Rashi says, he goes on, Es yodcha hachazaka, chazaka, chayzik, which is also gvura, shata koyvesh berachamim es midas hadina chazaka. You are koyvesh, you hold down with your rachmanus the minas hadin. Because gvura is to hold something back. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold back? He's not tempted. He doesn't have a yetzahara. There's no, right? So what is he holding back? He's holding back the midas hadin with rachmanus. And that's the midah of gvura. That's hagibar. And then vahanoira, he doesn't speak about it over here, but vahanoira, the Rashi says it other places in he says it in Oz Yashar, noira sihilois. Noira sihilois as a fella? I'm pretty sure he says it over there. But what noira means is that we're scared to say his praises, because once you start, you can't stop. Noira means it's unending. You can't. Awesome. What does that mean? Awesome. There's no end. You can't start the praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu, because if you do, then you can never end, because there's no words. You can't live long enough to say enough words that encompass the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we only say HaGadol Gibor Vanor, because we found that in the Chumash, that's when we say those words, but we don't say more than that in that part of Shemoneh Esrei. And that is reflected in Yaakov Avinu with Torah and Emes and then Midah, because the Torah also is Ein Sof. There's no end to it. There is no end to the depth of Torah. And it is Torah is also Noira. It is because it is whatever it means. It is the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore it has no end, it has no seif. Now, when we go through the Shemoneh Esrei and we go through these concepts, the more we're able to connect them to the Avos and to their Midas and to the commensurate Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and tap into that Hashpa, obviously that helps us a lot. Now, we know the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that Klal Yisrael says Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and they don't say Elokei David? Familiar with the Chazal? So Hashem said to David HaMelech, because they, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, had Nisyonos, and they passed their Nisyonos, you never had a Nisyon. So David asked for a Nisyon, and that was a mistake. That led to the whole Maaseh of Bathsheba. That's how he did the Chet with Bathsheba. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, I'll give you a Nisyon, because you're not supposed to ask for a Nisyon, but because you asked for it, I'll give you a Nisyon, and I'll make it even easier for you than for them, because I'll tell you where the Nisyon is going to be. And he told him the Nisyon is going to be in the area of Eshes Ish. And David therefore took steps to protect himself from Eshes Ish. The Gemara tells us that he actually acted upon that warning that he shouldn't be Nichshal in Eshes Ish, and he made a mistake in the way that he protected himself. It's not for now, so we can have a whole shiur on this. And as a result, he did the chet with Bathsheba, because what he tried to do to protect himself actually made his yetzara stronger, and he ended up doing the aver with Bathsheba. Nevertheless, so even though it was wrong to ask for an Nisayon, but why is David asking for an Nisayon? Is this David trying to, he wants covered? I mean, David is one of the greatest people to ever live. So, I mean, he was certainly on the level of anybody great that we can think of. In other words, think of any gadol you can think of. Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Go back to previous generations. Or Moshe Feinstein. Byron Cutler. Go back as far as you want. Chavetz Chaim. David HaMelech, they don't come to his toenails, all these people. David HaMelech is much greater than all of these people. He's greater than the Vilna Gaon. He's greater than the Rambam. He's greater than all these people. David HaMelech is of the greatest people. So David HaMelech, he felt like it's not fair. They're not saying, okay, David, what is he asking for? Obviously, David HaMelech is not asking it because he wants covet. He's trying to tap into something. David HaMelech represents something, and he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that why don't Klal Yisrael incorporate that which I represent into the Shemoneh Esrei? And what he represents, as the Ramchal was saying, is the koichos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the three of them, wrapped into one. It's the koil of the rest. Just like he said with, even though I don't understand this, with the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that the first three are the koichos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the fourth one is the koich of wrapping it all together, and that's David HaMelech. He brings together, that's what a melech does. A melech takes all the koichos of all of the people and brings it into one. That's the power, and that's what the job of the melech is. And David is the greatest melech to ever live. So David is saying, why don't they say it? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to David is, I tested them, and they passed. You were never tested. Now David didn't ask for a test. That was a mistake. So let's ask on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't you test David? So David was wrong for asking for a Nisan. Fine. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to test David. Why didn't he? He tested Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and they passed. Why didn't he test David? Because he thought David would fail? It's clear from the Gemara, the only reason David failed is because he asked for the Nisayon. If he would have been given the Nisayon without asking for it, he would have passed. So then why not HaKadosh Baruch Hu just test him? Why did he have to ask for it? Now, in the shiur I gave on this when I taught it in Shmuel Beis, the Nisayon might have been not to ask for it. That might have been the Nisayon itself. The test might have been, are you going to ask for one or not? Okay, but that's much more, that requires much more explanation. But on a more direct level, based on what the Ramchal is saying here, the koichos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are koichos that everybody is shayach to on our level, on whatever level that is. Everybody is shayach davening shachris, everybody is shayach davening mincha, everybody is shayach davening ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is the one that's least relevant to everybody, that's why it's only a reshus. One doesn't have to daven ma'ariv. Even men, today it's a minhag, everybody has to do it, but the actual halacha is that ma'ariv is only a reshus. It's only something which one could do, not has to do. That's why women don't usually have a ma'ariv, because it's not a required davening. But everybody can daven all three. But Tikkun Chatzos, which is David HaMelech's tefillah, is not for everybody. That's for only the select few. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an Esayon for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. An Esayon means, what's an Esayon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you have latent koiches. You have great potential. The Esayon allows you to bring it out into the open. Now you're not allowed to go look for an Esayon. So I can't go looking for a way to test my Yetzirah and then defeat it. You're not allowed to do that. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings me an Esayon, the purpose of an Esayon is to bring out my ability to defeat my Yetzirah. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that I have the potential of not succumbing to the Yetzirah of speaking or listening to or believing Lashon Hara, I'm not allowed to dafka go to a place where people speaking Lashon Hara and say, I'm not going to listen. Right, look at that, I beat my Yetzirah. Can't do that. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts me in a place where someone's speaking Lashon Hara, the purpose is to bring me na koyach alapayal, this koyach that I have of either literally or figuratively putting my fingers in my ears. So that's what he did for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. For David HaMelech, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to bring it al hapayal. He wanted it to remain a koyach. It would seem to me the pshat in that is because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov's koyches were being put into Klal Yisrael for every single member of Klal Yisrael, every single one of us. David's koyach is not for everybody. Meaning, we all say his karbanos, his tehillim in Psukei Dezimra. We all are in some way connected to David HaMelech. But the real ultimate koyach he has of malchus, of bringing it all together, that's not for everybody. Therefore, it is a potential koyach that remained, Hashem wanted it to remain potential. And therefore, we don't say, Elokei David. We don't say that. Nevertheless, when we have a bracha that incorporates Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the hidden message is David HaMelech. David HaMelech is behind the whole thing. Now, we're over time, so we have to end, but what are we waiting for? Waiting for Mashiach ben David. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting ultimately for the expression of David HaMelech to take us out of Galus and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and to bring the world to its shleimus. That person is going to embody this koyach of David HaMelech. He's going to be one of the Yechidei Skula. I assume that means he's going to say Tikkun Chatzos, but I guess that's one way of testing if a person is Mashiach or not. I assume that's what's going to happen. But in a broader sense, he's going to have this koyach of bringing all the koyaches together into one. Now, I don't like all of the rhetoric about, you know, and it's going to be, you know, we all have to get along together and all that. It's never that simple. It's so complicated. I'm not talking about shalom between everybody. Of course, that's going to happen too, but I don't mean that. I mean that he will have the ability to be able to take your koyach and 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 my koyach, everybody's koyaches, and be able to synthesize them, to bring them into a uniform whole that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. And all the koyaches will be used together. That's the koyach that he's going to have. That's the koyach of David HaMelech. And it's not something that everybody can tap into. It's something which is for the Yechidei Skula. And that's represented by the Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos is all about, if you go through it, you should take a chance, take an opportunity to go through it. It's all about crying over the Shechina that is in Galus. That the Shechina is Shechinta Begalusa. That we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not. The world doesn't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's about. And that's why it's represented by David HaMelech. So this is all just a broader picture. When davening Shemona Esrei, even if we're not going to think about every single detail of all of this, I always find that the more we know, the more empowered we are. And little snippets of it will hit us as we're davening. And it's worthwhile to be aware of some of these broader, bigger concepts that are not daily things that we think about.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.